Hey, I'm not going to take long, just about 10 minutes and then we'll be done. But I want you to listen to me. I know it's hard to sort of get preoccupied, but I had an opportunity to speak to the girls tonight. And so I wanted an opportunity to speak to you guys as well. And let me just say this. I watch a lot of you guys, and a lot of you guys are spiritually far beyond where I was when I was your age. And so when I say to you guys, you know, that I'm proud of you guys and what you do, and for many of you, the stand you've taken in your schools and stuff, man, you're just so far beyond where I was. But I want to be honest with you about one thing that I see in a lot of you, especially a lot of you guys who are leaders. And I don't want to be down on you or derogatory. I just want you to think about something. I challenged the girls tonight, and so hopefully they listened. But the one thing I want to challenge you guys with tonight is the way you treat them. Because I watch you guys, and I watch the way you all date. I watch the way you all date from one girl to another girl to another girl to another girl. I watch the way you all treat them. I watch what you all say about them as you go from one to another to another to another. And I just want to challenge you with a couple of things. Now, you guys have been talking all week about being men. And so if you're going to be a man, you need to learn how to treat a woman. And you need to understand what that looks like. There's a story in the Old Testament, a guy named Boaz, and his wife's name was Ruth. And it's a cool story. It's an Old Testament story. But let me tell you a little about Ruth. Ruth was not a good girl. She came from the bad side of town. In fact, the Bible says she was a Moabite. So she came from an area that had a lot of dysfunction. She was probably promiscuous. She was not a good girl. And so she lived in a town, her and her sister, her sister's name was Orah, and they lived in this town. And one day, this family came into the town. Now, you guys know what that looks like, where, you know, maybe a new kid moves in, and he can be as ugly as sin, but all the girls think he's good looking because he's new, right? You know what that means? So, hey, here's a situation. These two boys, their name was Mahlon and Chilion, who was the sons of Elimelech and Naomi, they moved to this town. And when they get there, Orah and Ruth, man, they fall in love with these two boys because they look like they got it together. Their parents have moved from Bethlehem to Moab because there was a hunger going on in Bethlehem. And so they move over. And so they sell everything they have. So when they come into town, man, they look like they got money. They look like they got all kinds of stuff going on in their lives. And so when they come in to town, these two girls, man, they are enamored with these two boys. And so they begin to date them. And listen, Orah's name means athletic, and Ruth's name means beautiful. So these two girls have got it together. And they are enamored with these two guys. And so they begin to date them, and they marry them, only to find out that these two guys are not what they appeared to be. They're poor. They sold everything. They put on a real good front. But the truth is, these two boys, they are not what they appeared to be. And all of a sudden, Ruth and her sister begin to realize that they're in a relationship they should have never got in. So the whole story is this. Elimelech dies, the father dies, and then the two boys die. And so all that's left are these three ladies, mother-in-law and two daughter-in-laws. And so they're starving. They have nothing to eat. And so in that culture, you know, if your husband's died, if you weren't a prostitute, you just didn't eat. And so basically Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, I'm going back to Bethlehem. And so she packs up the wagon, and they take off. And as they're going back, she says to her two daughters, listen, you all don't have to go with me. Why don't you guys just go on back to your homeland? And so Orah does. She says, okay, I'm going back to my gods, to my people. But Ruth doesn't. In fact, the Bible says that Ruth made a choice. She chose that she was going to stay with her mother. In fact, here's the way it goes. She simply says to her mother-in-law, wherever you go, I go. Whatever you do, I do. And your God will be my God. So Ruth made a choice. Now, guys, I'm going to tell you something. I challenge the girls tonight to make a choice tonight. To stop some of this foolishness that you guys are into. This going from one girl to one girl to another girl. And listen, y'all need to understand that. Most of y'all live in this little small pool of girls. You go to a school, well, there's only a few of them that are Christians. So you're going to date every one of those in your freshman year. And then you're not going to have anything else your sophomore or junior years to date. And you're just jumping from one to the other. And I want to tell you something. That's not what Boaz did. See, here's the story. Ruth comes back, and she's got to make a living for her mother-in-law. And so she begins to glean the fields. Now, listen, you need to understand something about gleaning the fields. When you gleaned the fields, when you went out for harvest, the first people to go out were the people who owned the fields. Boaz owned the fields, so he and his people were out there gleaning the fields. The next group of people who got to glean the scraps were the people who were poor in the area. And the last person to go glean the field was Ruth. And so she's out there picking up the scraps. And Boaz comes and he sees her. And he says to one of his servants, who is she? Who is that girl? And so the servant says, that's Ruth, that's Naomi's daughter-in-law who's come from Moab to live with her. And she's there, and he watches her all day long work hard, picking up everything she can to do all she can do. Well, about the end of the day, he goes up to her and he says to her, woman, from now on, you're going to come and begin to work with my servant girls. And I'm going to protect you from all the others. And so Ruth begins to live within the context, and Boaz begins to love her. And I want to just say a couple points to you today. I just want to remind you of some things. The first thing that Boaz chose to do is he chose not to exploit her past. Boys, I want you to listen to me. When you date a girl and she's got a past, as a believer in Christ, you're supposed to protect that past. Not run off and tell everybody else in the whole building what her past is. And certainly not to exploit her past. To know what she's done wrong that gives you an idea of what you can do by dating her. Boaz never exploits her past. In fact, they end up getting married and he never uses her past against her. Some of you guys are doing that. You've dated a girl, jumped to another one because you didn't want to date that one anymore, but you've already found another one you want. You've already dumped this one to date this one, and you'll use whatever you can to dump this one to go to that one. And I want to tell you something, a godly man, he doesn't respond that way. Godly men don't do that. And so Boaz treats this woman with utmost respect. And let me tell you something. Did she deserve it? No. She was a girl from the other side of the tracks. She did everything wrong. But he loved her, who she was, and he would not exploit her past. The second thing is this. He chose a godly reputation over popularity. Listen, some of you boys, the only reason you date some of these girls is for your own reputation. It's the only reason you do it. Because you know if you can get her, and if she can get you, it's about upping her reputation. And guys, I want to tell you something, that's not what a godly guy does. If you want to be a godly man, you choose the right one for the right reason, for the right time. Not just anybody and everybody. And not just bouncing around. Listen, Boaz understands. In fact, he will say something to her. He will say, "You are a woman of excellence." She wasn't. But he saw something in her because he loved her. Let me ask you a question, guys, really honestly. And listen, I used to try to get my best to try to get kids not to date at all in high school. I spent the first 20 years of ministry trying to get everything I could to get you guys not to date. But it's an ending battle. There's no way I can do it. Because all you all think about is dating each other at 15, 14, 13. Youth middle school's got girls who are pregnant at 13 years old. Does she have any business dating anybody at 13? No. In fact, half of you have a business dating anybody at 16 years old. And the answer is no. Because you don't know how to treat them. Those girls you date, those are somebody else's wives. And the reputation that you slam on them is somebody else's wife. It's my daughters. It's their daughters. It's their sisters. These are not people for you to toy with at your own pace. It's something for you to understand that as a godly man, you choose how to treat them with respect and an understanding. Listen, he chose to protect her from other men. In fact, he says to her, "You're going to work with my servants, and I've already ordered the men not to touch you." Because she had a reputation when she came. And some men went looking for that reputation. Guys, let me tell you something. Your responsibility at the schools you go, to the girls that go to this church, is to protect their reputation, not to destroy it. Your jobs are to stand up for them, to be there for them. And when someone says something about them, to stand up for them. That's what you're called to do. You go to church with these girls every Wednesday and Sunday. It's your responsibility as godly men to protect them. Guys, ask yourself a question. Are there some girls in this youth group that you owe an apology to for what you've said, how you've treated, what you've done to them? And listen, if this weekend's meant something to you, some of you owe them an apology for the way you've said and the things you've done and the things you've said. Listen, he pursued friendship over courtship. Their relationship started out as just friends. He was a good friend to her. He took care of her. He helped her. Let me just tell you this, guys. You guys would be much better off to have friendships rather than courtship. Listen, you can go to the homecoming dances. You can go to the proms with friends. But you don't have to date a girl just so you can go to the homecoming dance with her, so you can break up with her 3 days later. And yet, that's what many of you have done. Listen, pursue friendship. You guys are so fortunate and blessed to have a large group of kids who really do have some spiritual deep roots. Develop friendships with these girls. Friendships that you can talk to them in such a way that have respect for them. Listen, tonight I talk to them about working hard and being kind. Listen, girls are mean today. They're mean to each other. They cut on each other. They slam on each other so they can get you. For what reason? I'm not sure, but that's what they do. And so you guys have got to begin to understand what your responsibility is. Listen, here's a story. Boaz falls in love with her, and she falls in love with him. And so it's a real interesting story. She comes back one day with a bunch of grain. And Naomi, her mother-in-law, says, "Where'd you get that?" And she says, "Well, this guy named Boaz gave it to me." And Naomi said to her, did you know that he's your redeemer kinsman? Now, I know that's a weird statement. Let me tell you what that is. In that time, if a woman's husband died, a man could redeem her. He could go in, he could purchase the land that she had, and he could purchase her, buy her, redeem her, and make her his wife. Now listen, that may sound weird to us, but in that context, that's a big deal. And so Naomi says to Ruth, hey, he's your redeemer. And she basically says, no, he's not, but he's the one I love. And so here's the story. She goes in that night. Naomi says, listen, you need to get yourself decked up. So she puts on her best dress. She puts on makeup. She does everything to make herself appealing. And she goes in, and while he's having a good time, drinking, carrying on, having some fun with his friends, like so many of us on Sunday afternoons, like all of us are going to be doing tomorrow, he falls asleep. And while he's asleep, she goes and she lays down at the foot of his bed, at the foot of where he's laying. And when he wakes up, he says, who are you? Who is this? And she said, this is Ruth. And this is basically what she says. I choose you. And he says, and I choose you. I want to ask you a question, guys. I want you to really be honest with yourself tonight. Are you at a place where you could choose that person that you date is God's best for you? Any of you say tonight, hey, you know what? The girl I date, I believe is God's best for me. How many of you say, hey, that's me? Come on, raise your hand. Let's see all the... Then why? Then why? Why is it so important? So he chooses her, she chooses him. Pretty cool story. He basically says to her, there's somebody ahead of me, I'll go. And so he goes to the gates the next day, and he goes in and he says, hey, to the guy who was next in line, listen, do you want to buy Naomi's property? He says, yeah, I've been wanting that piece of land for years. I'll take it. And he says, well, you'll have to have the mother-in-law too. And he says, well, I guess I can work her and serve her. He said, oh, by the way, you're going to have to marry Ruth. He said, well, I really don't want to marry Ruth. And so Boaz steps in and he says, you know what? If you're not willing, I am. And so long story short, they get married. And they have a child. And the child's name is Obed, who had a son whose name was Jesse, who had a son whose name was King David. God redeemed her. He blessed her. Not because she was the best girl, but because they did it God's way. Guys, I want you to think tonight for just a minute. Here's what I want you to do tonight before you all go to bed. I want you to take a piece of paper out, and I want you to write on that piece of paper all the things that you look for in a girl. And I mean, I want her to be good looking. I mean, yeah, looks is a part of it. It's okay. You can put that on the list. But I want you to put on that list, this is what I'm looking for in a woman. This is what I'm looking for in a girlfriend. Some of you tonight, by the time you get that list done, know that the girl you're dating is not the best choice for you. So I'm asking you to make a choice tonight to choose wisely and step away from something that you shouldn't be in. And guys, for those of you who don't date anybody, you shouldn't date anybody till they fulfill that list. You just walk down that list and you say, you know what? This girl doesn't meet the qualifications that I have. That doesn't mean you're better than they are. It just means that you've chosen. Ruth made a choice. I challenge those girls tonight to make a choice. But let me tell you something. Here's the real deal. If you're going to be a godly man, it's your responsibility to make the choice. It's not really theirs. It's really yours. So I'm going to ask you now, will you be willing to walk away from this place tonight and choose to be godly amongst the girls that you call friends? Develop friendships instead of courtship. And to maybe consider that the best thing for you to do is to wait on God's best. We know this for true. Boaz was a little bit older than Ruth. He waited. He waited for God's best. Are you willing to wait on God's best? To curb your appetite? To wait for the one that would be God's best for you? Because I'm going to tell you something, guys. When you get married, the desires that some of you all have to jump from one to another, they're not going to stop. If you can't control your appetites at 13, 14, and 15, I can promise you this. In the world you live, you won't control it when you're 30, 31, and 32. You've got to learn how to control it. Right now's the time. It's the best time. So guys, I want you to think about it tonight. Spiritually, you guys are growing. You're doing some incredible things. As a youth minister, y'all are serving. You're doing some incredible things. But this one thing I have against you, this one thing I've watched the dynamic, and I've watched a large majority of you. And some of you have a reputation of being a player. Is that what you want? Is that the reputation you want? Hey, I've dated all these girls. I've dated all 7 or 8 or 9 of them. Is that the reputation you want? Or do you want a reputation of being a godly man? So that's what I leave you with tonight. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray for these boys. I pray for these young men. I pray that tonight that they will consider making a choice to wait for God's best. And God, I'm not saying they can't date. I'm just saying to make sure the people that they date are the ones they know to be God's best for them. The best choice that they could make. The one person that fulfills as many of the qualifications on their list as possible. That they'll consider friendship to be more important at this age than companionship. And God, that you'll give them the ability to be patient and wait and to honor these girls. That God, that these boys will be kind, that they won't tell things on them, that they'll help them to know that they can be protected because they are their protectors. That they'll say good things, that they'll build them up and not tear them down. That they'll be kind to all the girls, no matter how old, no matter how they look, no matter what reputation they have. That they'll be reminded that Boaz took a chance on Ruth. And by taking that chance, he found God's best. So I pray that tonight you'll help these boys to see past today. And look to the future and be willing to choose wisely. We love you. I praise you and I thank you for all that you do in our lives. And I ask that you be with us and guide us tonight as we go. Lord, it's in your name we pray.